All right. As I mentioned, as I was praying, everybody would be remembering, continue to remember the crusade coming up this month. It's the 24th through the 27th, Harrelson County High School Stadium. So let's all be very much engaged. Let's be all in, okay? Let's get some equity in this thing, all right? Very important for us to get some equity in this. Shame on us if we just, you know, we think sometimes we're doing good by showing up for the services. Well, I'm going to go every night and all that. Come on, dude. That's pretty weak. A three-year-old can do that. So let's get some equity in this. Let's saturate it in prayers. Let's invite people. Let's very much engage heaven over this thing, all right? Let's engage heaven over this thing. So that's coming up in a few weeks. Everybody be remembering that. Brother Nick's going to be bringing the word Sunday. Where's it? Nick's bringing the word Sunday. I'm pumped about that, super excited. And so I'm just looking forward to the word, the passion, the energy that is going to flow through him this week. So y'all be remembering that. And I want to start out tonight. We had a myself and Lori and Linda and Keith and a lot of other people from all over the country went to Los Angeles this past weekend for the Azusa Now, the call that was in Memorial Coliseum on Saturday. And we were out, and it was just a really, really tremendous. I'm still trying to process the word that went forth from that. There was about 60,000 people there. I'm guessing 60. They registered like 100,000, but it was raining about all day. And, you know, everybody, when you register free, you don't have equity in it, so you don't feel obligated to go. So there's a sermon in that we could preach on, but anyway, there's probably, I'm guessing, probably, Keith, wouldn't you say probably 60,000 or so there? And, you know, from all over the country, all over the world, I was around some people from, I don't know if it was from China or Taiwan or where, but, you know, a lot of several groups of Asians that were not English speaking. But there were, you know, people from all over the world there. Just share a few things, you know, I'll tell you the residual as I try to process the word. Just some tremendous people, you know, Lou Engle, Dutch Sheets, Bill Johnson, you know, the founder of YWAM, a lot of Heidi Baker, a lot of real powerful people that were there that were speaking. Eddie James, Rick Pino, Bethel were leading worship, so that's a pretty good lineup of worship just right there. And so that was great in itself. We saw people, a lot of healings. We saw people get out of wheelchairs. We saw them; they were walking around the floor of Memorial Coliseum with wheelchair over their head. With one guy that God had healed from that. There was actually a kid about three rows from us that had some severe hearing loss in both ears, and God healed him. And we were like from here to Linda from him. And you know, you talking about worshiping, that cat was doing some worshiping after that, wasn't he? Lori took a picture of him. She's got a picture on her iPhone of him. But you know, that was just some of the stuff that's going on. Just some crazy words of knowledge. You know, one guy during Bethel got up and led worship, and you know, Bill spoke, and then Bethel got up and led worship, and Bill said, "We're going to have some words of knowledge and some prophetic declarations and all of that." So, you know, we'll interject that in a few minutes. And some guy got up that I don't know, not familiar with him. Chris Volleton gave a word, Heidi Baker gave a word, and all that. But one guy gave up, and he just started giving words of knowledge in detail. I mean, like, you know, getting up there and it's like, "Hey, there's," I just feel like, and he would write them down as God was giving them to him, and he came up, and God had been downloading this stuff during worship. But, like, you know, one example, he got up and he said, "There's a couple," and I don't remember the names, but he said, "There's a couple here. I feel like the Lord saying it's, you know, Bob and Sue. You got four kids, and name the four kids." And he said, "I think your street address is, you know, God gave me this. This must be your street address." Of course, they're freaking out at this point and everything, and all of this stuff, you know. And he starts giving them prophetic words about, you know, that God's saying that Oregon's a go. So there were, you know, some things in the works and all of that, and just starts releasing that word. So if you think God doesn't know you by detail, when somebody calls you out in a stadium of 60,000, He said there's one little girl there, and he said there's the Lord showing me this one lady, and her name is so and so. You're from Greenville, South Carolina, and you know, and it was a young African American girl up there in a group, and you know, and he said your grandmama's name is so and so, and called out her grandmama's name, and started declaring some things, or prophetically declaring some things that her grandmother had been specifically praying and talking to her about. You know, and of course, she's spazzing out at this point, you know, but, you know, fish flopping and all of that stuff. And so, you know, just some cool stuff like that, okay? I've never went and seen Lou Engle where I walked away and said, man, that was an amazing sermon. But without fail, I've always walked away from being around Lou Engle knowing that there was an impartation made into my life. And for everybody that says, I just want to hear a good word and all of that, you don't need a good word. You need impartation in your life. And all, because a good word a lot of times will just simply give us insight. We preached on insight a few weeks ago. Or even if it's revelation, if it is not an impartation in your life, it is not going to be something that sustains. Okay? What to me was more powerful and I'm more excited about than Saturday, and we were there from, you know, early until late. It finished about 10:30. But the thing that was more powerful to me than what was actually happening. Oh, one other cool thing, and Jennifer and Lori both agreed that they felt like there was a real huge spiritual shift when this took place. One thing that Lou Engle does is he's real big on reconciliation, and they had the reconciliation with the Native Americans, the reconciliation with the African Americans, and all of this, and the Hispanic community, and all, and the Catholic. There was a Catholic priest that was from Italy, and he was up there, and he was you know, he was spirit filled Catholic. There's a big movement right now in the Catholic Church, in not only in Europe but especially South America. I've been reading about for several years of just an infilling of the Holy Spirit and all in the Catholic Church, and God's just really doing a great work in that. But he and Lou were up there, and the Catholic priest was like, man, I want to wash your feet, but there's nothing up here for me to wash your feet with. As they were asking each other's forgiveness for prejudices, not individual, they were standing as representatives of the evangelical church, representatives of the Catholic Church, you know, because we're so often in the evangelical church, we look at Catholics like they're not even saved, and you know, because of all their jacked up stuff, and they do have some jacked up stuff, and so we kind of tend to look at them like, you know, and all of that, and then they look at us like we're, you know, crazy cult people and all of that stuff. So there was just a real, we're standing and doing reconciliation, but this guy said, there, I want to wash your feet, but there's nothing to wash your feet with. So he started kissing his feet. And there was just a shift. Lori and Jennifer both said, could y'all feel it, Lynn and Keith? There was just a significant spiritual shift when this Catholic priest humbled himself and began to do that. And it was just like something in the heavenlies just shifted and all. But to me, the thing that I felt like, and this is where I'm going to go with this tonight a little bit, and if Lori or Lyndon Keith want to share something, I'll let them do that too. But to me, what I was more excited about was the residual stuff that I saw the next day, or even Monday. We were supposed to fly out Monday, and we were eating breakfast, and I got an email, and it said, your flight's been delayed 2 hours, and that's an email everybody always loves getting, right? Don't everybody like that? And I'm like, well, you know, I guess there's worse places, you know, that we could be delayed 2 hours. We hadn't gone to the airport yet, and we're sitting at an outside table overlooking Marina Del Rey eating breakfast together. And I said, well, it's not all that bad. So we decided to go down to Santa Monica Pier. And I said, you know, it's a couple miles up the beach, and you know, we got a couple hours, just go kill a little time. And so we went down there, and we parked, and we started walking out on the pier. And if anybody of you have ever been there, it's a real long pier. It's the one that's got the roller coaster and the Ferris wheel on the pier and all that stuff. So we're walking out on the pier, and Lori's like, well, look over there. And I stopped, and on the beach there was a group of about 12, 15 people holding hands on the beach, and they were praying. And I mean, they weren't just, they were praying. And I'm like, dang. I mean, Lori took her picture, you know, from the pier. She's like, this, I got to take a picture of this. And, you know, we're like, man, yay, God, that's cool. And so we took a picture, and we were kind of just, you know, doing our little dilly-dally stuff for another 4 or 5 minutes. And then we happen to look over there, and they're wading out in the water. They don't have any wetsuits on, and the Pacific's cold, especially this time of year. They're wading out in the water, and they start having a baptism service. And these folks are getting toe up in the Holy Ghost. I mean, Randy, it's some of them where they're dragging them up on the beach. You know, the whole, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. Getting wrecked in the Holy Ghost. And so we're sitting there, and we watch this for about 5 or 10 minutes. And, I mean, and they're not in a hurry. And we're like, man, this is stinking awesome. I said, let's go talk to them. And so we you know, you have to walk back to the end of the pier all the way around and then come back down on the beach. And so we walked and came down on the beach. And as we were walking down there, down the little walkway going out to the beach, there was an elderly black man in a suit and two white guys on each side of him. They were kind of escorting him. And I came up behind him. It's kind of like the road to Emmaus. I came up behind him, and they were discussing Scripture. And I told Lori, I said, there's a story in this, but I don't have time to talk to these guys. I want to go see what's going on out here. So we go on over here, and we begin to talk to these guys, and they were Native Americans. It was three families of Native Americans. And I said, what's the story, man? I said, man, y'all are down here getting baptized and all that. And they said, we're getting baptized into new life and new calling. And they had been at the call. They were from Montana and had come down. And God was sending them as missionaries up to minister to the Crow Nation. And that's what they were about to do, Jeff. They were going up, and they were going to be missionaries in the Crow Nation. One of them was actually affiliated with Lou Engle's ministry and the call and all of that. He was one of them on the stage when the Native Americans were there. But and his father was one of them, and you could just see the pride in his father beaming with his son as they were talking about their calling and what they were doing and all of that stuff. So we talked with them for a few minutes and just spoke blessings over them and all of that stuff. And then we went on to the airport, and we got to the airport, and I think it was absolutely, especially for LAX, I think it was absolutely the smoothest check-in we've ever had. We just we got through. It was like a VIP security line. You know, I think that somebody sent us to the wrong line, because there was like somebody that worked for the airline was escorting two guys through, and somehow we just fell in that thing. So, you know, and there was this long line and all that, and we just walked through, and it's like, oh, yay, God, this is good, this is all right. Even though we had a 2-hour delay, we're like, yay, God, in this. And we get in there, and we get in the terminal, and I'm sitting down, and if you've ever been to LAX, it's not like Atlanta. It's not a long terminal. There's like 4 or 5 gates that are in like a circle, and you come into one area, and everybody sits at all the gates in just one big area, kind of like a rotunda area. And we were sitting in there, and I couldn't quit crying. I told Lori, I was like, you know, I mean, I know people were like, what's wrong with this cat? Because I'm just sitting there, and I could not quit crying. I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, man, I'm sorry, baby. I'm just toe up, you know. I was texting a couple people, and I was just, man, I was ripped. And I love that. I absolutely love that, because other stuff doesn't do that to me. I kill a big deer, it don't do that to me. I have a good day fly fishing or quail hunt, it don't do that to me. I limit out on duck, it does not do that to me. I play with my grandchildren, it doesn't even do that to me, as much as I love them. All right? There's something that only the stirring and the indwelling presence of God can do in you. That only that can do in you. Nothing else can touch that place. Nothing else can touch that place. And so I'm sitting there just wrecked and all, you know, and just, you know, I'm just messed up. And Lori was like, look over there behind you. And so I turn around and look, and two rows over, there's about a 20-year-old or maybe 25-year-old girl. And she's sitting there praying with a 50-something-year-old woman and just praying with her. And it looked like what I thought when I saw it was just like, you know the word where it says bear one another's burdens? I don't know what this girl, younger girl, was praying with this older lady over. I say older, she was my age. But it looked like what I could see in the spiritual was she was bearing her burdens. And then she was just so quiet, not a big flashy thing, but she was there, and she was sitting next to her, and she had her arm like this around her right here, and then she had this arm on her, and she was just praying, and the woman was totally receiving it. And I'm like, that's cool. And then I looked over at the same time, about two rows past this, and I see three young men about Aaliyah and Brett's age. And one of them's standing up. Nick, he's got his hands. Stand up, brother. He's got his hands on this cat like this. And he's praying up a storm over this joker. And I'm like, how many times you see that in the airport terminal? And I'm sitting there, and I'm wrecked in the Holy Ghost, and you got this little girl just bearing this chick's burdens and praying for her. This guy's doing some serious deliverance or impartation or something's going on right here. And I'm like, dude, I'm digging this. Because this is residual stuff. This is residual stuff. Bruce and Jennifer flew out, our friends from Texas that are in ministry out in Fort Worth. We spent the day with them Sunday, and then they had a late flight Sunday afternoon. They told Lori that on their flight home from LAX to Dallas, about 30 minutes before the flight landed, they said their flight broke out in spontaneous praise and worship, and said there was just praise and worship going on all over the whole airplane for the last 30 minutes of the flight. How many of y'all ever been on a flight that broke out in praise and worship? Not me. Not me. I'm telling you guys, God's doing something. One guy got up and testified, and he was sharing that they were Native American, and they were from Alaska, and they were talking about the revival that's taking place in Alaska right now. He said, we just had revival meetings in a small village up there, and it's a Native American village. And he said that the numbers, it was like over 300 people got saved, and it was pretty much the entire village that accepted Jesus Christ. It's like everybody in this village had accepted Jesus Christ and the revival that had just taken place and the outpouring that's taken place. And he said, God is so stirring up in Alaska right now. He said, it is crazy. It is crazy. And so I just, that's the thing that kind of excites me more than coming in and having high energy at a meeting. Because all of us have been at high energy meetings. Amen. And while you're at the meeting, it's great. But the next day, you go back to life as normal. I hadn't been the same since we got back. I mean, I've just been, there's been such a stirring and a lightness and a hunger and an appetite. And just like Lori texted me today, and she said, I've been re-listening to that word over and over. And she said, my heart is just leaping. That was her exact words. She said, my heart is leaping. I get back, and I was, Linda was just sharing with me about how much lighter she felt. And just the joy of the Lord and the peace and the rest and everything that she was feeling and experiencing right now. And she just said, we just found out we owe $2,800 in taxes. And she said, I mean, look at her right now. She doesn't look like somebody that owes $2,800 in taxes. And it's God stirring and doing something. I got back and I was talking to Damon yesterday morning, and He said, hey man, he said, last Tuesday night at the Wilderness Society gathering that we have once a month, he said, we got wrecked in the Lord. And he said, God started giving me prophetic words for you guys, for me and Lori, and for Victory Fellowship Church. So I want everybody in here that if you're part of Victory, go to Damon's website, look at the podcast, the latest Wilderness Gathering, okay? The Wilderness Society. It's the last one. It was just last Tuesday, and y'all listen to it. It's the end of it. It's an hour and a half teaching, but at the end of it, they start praying and declaring, and he starts speaking, what the Lord is saying to him concerning this body, concerning this house, concerning this area, and it's good. I'd listened about 20 minutes of it before work yesterday morning, and then I cut it off when it was time to go to work. And I said, man, I ain't listened to it yet, but I said, I'll catch it this evening and all. So I want to encourage y'all, you guys from Victory, this is residual for you guys. Y'all were in here most Wednesday nights. When revival hits this place, or as revival hits this place, it's going to hit y'all's life too, because you're in such close proximity of it. So I'm pumped about it. I'm super excited. I want to share just a couple things that I feel like the Lord's. I heard something, and part of it was out of what He was saying Tuesday night, and this was not directed toward us. It was just not really an illustration, but something that He hit on briefly. But to me, it kind of epitomizes where I see us right now, and hopefully this body right now. You know, as leaders in a house, we have a tremendous privilege, but a tremendous responsibility also. And I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about anybody that is that you have a serious equity in this house. Courtney, that's you and Deborah. And that's not just me because I'm the pastor, or Brett and Beth because they're pastors here, or Jeremy and Sonny because they're called into to pastoral leadership. You know, that's it. But we have a real, real responsibility that a group of people will go where their leaders take them, and they will camp where their leaders camp. And so I just kind of want to share where what I really feel like God's pushing us right now with a couple things. Y'all turn in your Bible to John 21 real quick. John 21. I'm really not going to talk about the push for evangelism, although I'm feeling that push real strong in my life and our lives. And even though it's not my nature, it is not my nature. But, you know, Lori's kind of on the flight home. I was sitting next to a young lady from Philadelphia, and she went to the call. It was not like I was witnessing to a lost person, but I was just really trying to pour kingdom into her. And Lori was kind of like, you know, you done talked for an hour and a half, kind of, you know, throttle back a little bit, baby, and all. But she didn't seem weary on it, so I just kept on, you know, pedal to the metal. But I'm not going to talk about evangelism, although I feel like there is a bigger push. There will be a bigger push for evangelism in this house, okay? And it's not necessarily coming in and explaining doctrine. It is your testimony. It is, this is what God is doing in my life. When they ask you the reason for your hope, you've got an answer for them, because this is what God's done in my life. To me, Mary Magdalene's one of the most powerful people in the New Testament. She's one of the most powerful disciples of Christ, even though she's not one of the 12. And it was because she had such a powerful testimony that when I think of he who has given much, loveth, or he has forgiven much, loveth much, I think of Mary Magdalene. And she so loved Jesus, and her testimony was like, dude, you ought to have seen me before I met Jesus. I was jacked up. I was possessed with 7 devils. And all of this stuff was going on in my life, but I met a man and he changed my life. And he gave me peace, he gave me joy, he gave me hope, he gave me love. And I think that this push of evangelism that we're gonna receive, I think it's something that God's gonna impart into us. I think it's not something you're gonna say, okay, yeah, I think I need to do that. You're gonna receive it. God's gonna impart that into you, brother, and it's gonna be a thing. Let me tell you how good God is in my life. Let me tell you what he's done in my life. And that's the power in it. Somebody that's in need, they don't really care what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 6. You know, we come in with circular reasoning. We try to prove the Bible by the Bible. And they want life examples. They want to see that you're changed, that I'm changed, and I may be going through hell right now, but I'm going through hell with peace right now. I'm going through hell with hope right now. I'm going through hell with joy right now, because that's not natural. So anyway, that's the push. I'm not going to talk about evangelism. I do want to talk about two other things real quickly. We're in John 21, starting in verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. This is the story of the disciples after Jesus is crucified. He's resurrected, but it's not a business as usual. There's a little bit of indecisiveness with them. I'm not dogging them out for going fishing. I think they went back to a place of familiarity. And sometimes when you're reeling, that's where you have to go. One thing that I have experienced, and I see this in Thomas and the other disciples, we really dog out Thomas because of his unbelief. Thomas was just hurting real bad, guys. Because this same Thomas that we call Doubting Thomas, when Jesus was about to go to Jerusalem and they said, Lord, you can't go up there. They tried to kill you last time. You know what Thomas said? Thomas said, well, let us go with him and we'll die too. That is not the voice of a coward. He said, let us go with him and we'll die there too. But I think these guys were reeling. I've experienced this firsthand with the loss of my dad recently. When you love deeply, you hurt deeply. When you love deeply, you hurt deeply. The reason we're not burdened for the world is we don't love the world. The reason we're not burdened for the lost, we don't love the lost. Come on. The reason you're burdened for situations is because you love the people in those situations. That's why it hurts deeply, because you love deeply. So the disciples are at this place and they're reeling from everything and uncertainty of the future and all of this. They've seen the resurrected Lord, and so there's hope in that. But they're gone fishing. And it said that back in verse 5, Jesus stood on the shore and he said, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. Verse 6, we just read and said, he said, cast a net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. That was John. John said, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. I don't know about you guys, but Peter's not a spring chicken right here, and he just swam 100 yards in the ocean. That's a pretty good little old, especially when you're wearing a fisher, girded with a fisher's coat, and he just dove in and swam 100. That's how far 200 cubits was. It's pretty impressive, Randy. You know. I couldn't do it. I'd have about half the time I'd be on my back kicking a little bit right now because I could not just get in there and stroke it out. He stroked it out and beat the boat there. So Peter comes in and it says, verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. So I look at this and just a beautiful picture right here, and it just resonates where I feel like where we are, where I feel like Lori and I are right now. I look at Peter in this, and he is in a position to where, after they got the word of the Lord, he's in a boat, that they just obeyed the word of the Lord, and they caught all of these fish. And that is a place of obedience. It's a place of provision. It's a place of blessing. It's a place where you feel like you're in purpose and everything else. But he saw the Lord on the seashore, and he jumped and left all of that so he could get to the Lord. He left raw fish, and he got cooked fish. Amen? He left raw fish, and he got cooked fish. It's what Damon was talking about in the Wilderness Society, just briefly. He hit on that and just began to leap in me. This is where we are. And he left a place of yes. He left a place of obedience. He left a place where God's providing and blessing right here. But he got something better. And I want to tell everybody here, I know a lot of you are in a good place. I know a lot of you are enjoying life. You got a good marriage. You got a good home. You got good kids. You got maybe your finances are stable. You got it going on. Everybody's like, you're living the American dream. You're even living the Christian dream. And I'm here to tell you there's more. There is more. I know there's more because I've tasted it. I've bobbed in and out of it for years. And where I feel like we are, I feel like we jumped out of the boat. And I feel like you'll bear witness with this. Me and Lori didn't talk. I hadn't seen her today. But I feel like we jumped out of the boat because we want something more and we want something better. I jumped out of the boat at good church. I am sick of doing good church. We've been doing good church at Victory Fellowship ever since we've been here. We did good church at Tom's Cleaners. And we've seen souls saved. We've seen lives change. We've been people, a lot of you've got saved in this ministry, and God's done some great things. And I'm not knocking a bit of that, but I want to tell you there's more, and I want it. There's more, and I'm going for it. I was thinking as we were standing up in the stadium, Beth, and I was sitting there, and Pino was leading in worship, and Lou was standing on the stage, and Dutch was about to speak, and Eddie James had just got through doing, I started texting, and just got through a thing, and it reminded me of all the hours that we were in the presence of God down at the ramp with those same guys. And as good as that is, that was simply something to propel us even into even more. And I feel like I'm in a place. I know I'm in a place to where I'm diving out of the boat, Cindy. I have dove out of the boat. And because as good as the raw fish are, he's on the shore. And he's got something better. That's the thing that the cooked fish show me. He's got something better. This is it in its state of hope, and this is it in its state, but that's it in the state of reality. That there's more, and there's something of a more significant substance and all of that. What I kind of spin out of this in what I see right here is, and where God's really pushing me, is are we willing to invest in our spiritual lives? We talked about marrying ourselves to the land several weeks ago. I wanted to come back in and reteach that tonight. That is because I couldn't get away from that all weekend about what we're marrying ourselves to and marrying ourselves to the land and marrying ourselves to where what God is doing. And I don't remember if you guys were here when I taught on that. But when we marry, we will never reproduce or produce anything until we marry ourselves to something. And the question that I have for us tonight is, what are we willing to, are we willing to invest in our spiritual lives? Because I think, what are we invest in? What do you invest in? What do you invest in? What do you invest your time in? The Word talks about the principle of sowing and reaping, and it says if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow a small amount, you're going to reap a minimal harvest. And I look at us, and we invest in everything but our spiritual life. We think showing up for church a couple times a month is investing in our spiritual life. Or if we're real good, showing up. I'm there every Sunday and Wednesday, brother. I was too coming up. I was there every Sunday and every Wednesday and smoking dope every Friday night. So just... this proximity is not enough. But when we come in and we marry ourselves to it, and then we invest in it. We invest in it. When we come in, the two highest priorities in my life has been this thing here and that. But the order's not always been right. Okay? A lot of times it's that. And it needs to be that and then that. You see what I'm saying? I've made a personal commitment. I'm going to start investing in my spiritual life. We invest in our relaxation. Say, oh, I need that. And so you know what we'll do? We'll fork out thousands of dollars to go to the beach two or three times a year. And we won't invest anything in our spiritual life. We won't buy a book because it's $20. We won't invest any time in it because it's not as entertaining, what we think is entertaining, as watching whatever. What's mind-boggling to me is I can sit and watch a movie I've already watched six times and sit there and get mesmerized by it and watch it again. Knowing everything that it's about. I know none of y'all never do nothing like that. Lori's got a pretty good take on hunting shows. Brandon, I sit there and watch a hunting show, and Lori will come up and she'll say, let me tell you what's going to happen. They going to kill it. And it's going to be a mule deer. And I don't care what it scores. I just ruined the plot on every hunting show you're going to watch now. Every once in a while, they'll throw you a curve and they'll miss it. Right? Think about it. Think about it. What do we invest in? Bill Johnson says that there is a cost to revival. And it is a high cost to revival. But compared to what it brings in our life, it's silly for us to think that it's a high cost. How much money did y'all spend this weekend? A bunch. I dropped a couple grand myself. For what that did in my life, I got a bargain. That was a steal. Do you know what I spend if I went to? I'm not hating on going to the beach, guys. I'm gonna go to the beach in June with my family. But I'm saying when all we do is invest in stuff that is earthly and menial and all of that stuff, and I'm not saying you can't build. Yes, that is part of building family time. I encourage you, do that. But don't just do that and not invest in your spiritual life. It's not just money. It's time. It's focus. It's passion. We're going back out to Los Angeles end of May. I'm going to the Heaven Come conference. Yeah, you got doggone straight. I'm going to that. I'm going for 3 days of that, and then I'm flying to Dallas Fort Worth, and I'm sharing life with our friends for 2 days before I fly home for their daughter's high school graduation. And you know what? I'll spend a couple thousand dollars. But you know what I'm doing? See, here's the thing that blows my mind is we get invested in other stuff that we think is going to bring a harvest. We just spent $3,000 just this week, didn't we, Brad, on getting a booth space at Myrtle Beach for a bike rally we're going to go work. And you know why we did it? Because we know that if we sow into that, we've got potential to make a whole lot more than $3,000. So, you know what, Brett? You know what his terminology is? Dude, it's a no-brainer. And I'm in complete agreement with you, Brett. It's a no-brainer. We spend $3,000. We carry product. We take a week's worth of time and we go up there and we triple it or quadruple it. Duh. I'm doing it in my cattle herd right now. I've been spending money, sinking money into the cattle and all of that stuff. Got 75 head right now. I didn't make any money on cows last year. I won't make anything on cows this year. But I am positioning myself for a very good harvest that is going to perpetuate itself and produce fruit year after year after year after year. And I get it in the natural. It's a no-brainer. If you can, why not? But we don't do it in spiritual because we say, you know what? The cost is too high. The cost is too high. I'm not saying that you've got to spend $2,000. But how about spending 3 hours and press into something? The time with the Lord. How about carving out, starting your day with 45 minutes, Nick? Just say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invest in my children's spiritual life. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fast for the next however many days. You know what a Daniel fast is? That's an investment in your spiritual life. That's an investment in everybody around here's spiritual life. I know it didn't come out of your credit card or anything like that, but that $2,000 I spent this past weekend in TW will be extremely beneficial for the Oding family. I was making an investment, not just in me, but I was making an investment in your family. I was making an investment in your son and your daughter. I was making an investment in your kids. I was making a spiritual investment in them. And one thing that God is starting to push and stir on me to do is to make an investment in that. And it's time, and it's energy, and it's focus, and yes, it's money. It is.
You cannot get enough of it. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long time since I felt that way. I was there and I lost it. And I kept saying, God, why can't I get back here? But it's because I wasn't. You know, I do devotions every day and say my prayers and yada yada and go on about my business because I did God a favor today and I spent 5 minutes with Him.
Right.
You know, but to actually carve out that time that you're talking about and sit down and get into His presence, it's like you don't want anything bothering you because it's just, you can't get enough and you can't wait until you get back. Mm-hmm. And I want that back.
Yeah.
I want that in this house. I want everybody to have that hunger.
Yes.
Because that's when we're going to see lives change.
Yes. You know what that will do? You know what the sea sword
spirits will do when you dive out and you go to the boat, out of the boat, when you leave the boat and you go to the shore and say, you know what? I want more because Jesus is there and the cookfish are there. And more importantly, His presence is there. The cookfish are just symbolic of His dwelling presence. He was there cooking them. It wasn't like He went through the Captain D's drive through and brought them. He was there cooking them. And by that encounter, you know what it does? It ruins you for everything else. It ruins you for just a boat experience. It ruins you for just a boat experience. I got messed up. Lou Engle's daughter got up there and she was just speaking for 10 or 15 minutes. And she's a full-time missionary in Nepal. But just the passion and just did you feel the... I told Lori, I said, I bet that is a bad chick right there. I wanted to just hang out with her. She only talked for 10 minutes. I said, I want to hang out with her. Because when you get around presence like that, it ruins you for everything else. When you get in the middle of God's will, Jeff, like what you're doing over in the Philippines, and you see kids getting saved, and you see lives being changed, and you see God really impacting people's life, I imagine just a regular American church makes you want to puke, doesn't it? Hopefully we're not just regular American church. But I know what you're saying, man. You get in this and you're like, oh my gosh, because you're ruined for everything else. I mean, isn't that what drugs does, guys? Any of you that's had years of... Isn't that what it does? One takes you to the other. You don't start out shooting up. Usually you start out with a... join or something. But you want to, you'll go a little bit deeper and get a little bit higher and go a little further and a little further. Why? Because somebody told you, dude, you need to try this. By testimony. Right? But then once you get to that place, you just can't come back and be like, yeah, man, you know, it ruins you for everything else. In a negative way. Y'all know what I'm saying? I'm not promoting it by any means. But once you go to the harder stuff, the entry-level stuff, it's kind of like, that's cotton candy. You know what cotton candy is, don't you? It dissolves, doesn't it? Zero substance. And I just feel this real strong push for us to jump out as a body, to jump out of the boat and start investing in our spiritual lives. We're amazed when we don't have the harvest that we hear about or want to see. And I know exactly why. We didn't sow anything. We didn't invest anything. Peter's investing right here. He said, I don't care about the fish if I can't have Jesus. All of a sudden, that 153 large fish were inconsequential to him. He said, man, I don't give a rip about these fish. I want the one that spoke the word. And that's where I want us to be. That's where God wants us to be as a church, guys. I want us to get burnt for just average Christian life. To where we're just kind of like... to where it's like... So what are we going to invest in? What makes your heart leap? You guys that have tasted and seen, what makes your heart leap? What makes you sit in an airport terminal and can't stop crying? It ain't because the Braves won the World Series. We know that ain't going to happen for a long time. It's not that. It's not a paycheck. I've held a $300,000 cashier's check in my hand before, made out to us. And it don't make my heart leap. Did not make my heart leap. Did not make me weep uncontrollably. Because I'm burnt. The only thing that can do that is His presence. And you are too. You're burnt for everything else, Nick. So we can run around and we can try to find satisfaction in all of this stuff. I got a new Shooting Sportsman magazine in yesterday, and usually that's my porn. I'm just being honest. Man, I got that in, and I was like, you know, when I came out of the mailbox, I told Lori, I said, "Woo, my porn's here." I barely glanced at it. You know what I was doing last night? I was on websites, and I was looking at travel arrangements, and I was looking at this, and I was looking when Global Legacy training's going to be in Reading and stuff like that. I'm going to go bird hunting in November. But I don't want to invest in more in that than I do my spiritual life. I hope Mary's an amazing soccer player, and I hope she makes the Olympic team. I know she loves it. And I hope she's got a platform and a great, great, great testimony. But don't ever along the way in this journey that your guys are on, don't ever let her get in a place of compromise in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Keep that at the forefront above everything else, Beth. You know, I'm not saying that we don't invest in these things. Sure you do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to work 40 hours a week. I'm going to invest in KST. I'm going to take care of the farm. I'm going to invest in the farm. But you know what? At the end of the day, there's only one thing that just, whew, and that's Him on the seashore with cooked fish. Nothing else. Nothing else is going to satisfy you. Nothing else is going to satisfy you. I hope you marry the most awesome man in the world, Cindy. I do. I know you do too. That's the desire of your heart. And I'm praying and I'm believing for you and all that. But you know what? He is not going to satisfy your soul. He will not satisfy. I don't care how good looking he is, and I don't care how nice he is, and I don't care how rich he is. He is not going to satisfy your soul. You know why? Because you're burnt. You're burnt. You're burnt. Because you stood side by side with me in the middle of crazy praise and worship in God's presence with tears streaming down your face. You've held a little precious baby in Guatemala that couldn't let go of you because she felt the love of Jesus flowing through you. And that'll ruin you for everything else. We've seen that. We've experienced that. We felt that, Randy. And I've wept uncontrollably washing a man's nasty feet on a dirt floor in a church in Guatemala. And that ruins me for everything else. I want you to look in the mirror and then realize who you are. Realize who you are. And who you are means you're burnt for everything else. Because He marked you, He put His seal on you, He put His stamp on you, and it's a stamp of love. It's not a stamp of, it's a stamp of love and saying that I am your beloved and you're my beloved and I'm yours, you're mine. That's that thing that God put on you. And in doing that, it burnt you for every other lover. It burnt you for every other lover. This is where I want our church to go. This is where our church go. Look at me. That's who you are, Annie. That's who you are. I don't care what the world says. In your heart, you know. In your heart, you know. TW, in your heart, you know. Sonny, in your heart, you know. You are burnt for everything else because you've tasted and you've seen and God's put His stamp on you. And your identity goes even further than being Jeremy Crane's wife. Your identity goes even further than that. You're a daughter of Zion. And that's a higher calling than me and Jeremy's wife. I got a higher calling than being her husband. That's being His son. being His son. So what are we going to invest in? What are we going to invest in? How are we going to sow into that? What time is it, somebody? Please tell me 10 till. 5 till, Lori? You good? You want to release nothing? Not right now? All right. Linda, Keith? Come grab us. Come on up here. We got 5 minutes. Release it in the house, sister.
What really got me, to me, when Lou Engle had all the ethnic groups and we were crying out and we were praying and we were asking for forgiveness, you know, at some point somebody got up and said, now think, who is it that you need to forgive? Who is it? You know, and I'm not wording it exactly how they did, but who has wronged you? You know, think about who really has wronged you. I mean, this is what God's speaking to me. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and He said, Father, forgive them. And all of a sudden, we are all as unison. I mean, it's like we're that whole stadium is crying out, Father, forgive them. Go in your mind, where whoever the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart right now that has wronged you, that has hurt you, that you're holding on to, that you can't. I mean, your mind always goes back to it. You think about, your mind always goes back to it. You've got aught against somebody. Or you know that somebody's got aught against you. I mean, that was powerful. The John 17, Jesus' prayer that they be one, that we would be one, as He and the Father are one. That prayer's going to be answered. And if we want to see what God wants, what He's wanting to do in this house, what He's wanting to do in this region, what He's wanting to do, we've got to get over our offenses. We've got to get over whatever it is that we have against each other. I mean, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit will reveal. And I guess my challenge to you is the same challenge that was made to us, that it is for all of us. Search your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal. He will. If there's somebody, and when He does, just ask Him, say, God, Father, forgive them. Are you willing to do that? I mean, Father, forgive them. And when we did that in that stadium, it was like, I can't describe the lightness that I felt. And I came home and it was like on my job, I had to go to another area, to another office and see somebody. You know what? There was somebody standing right there in front of me. They had wronged me. They had wronged me, and God placed them right in front of me. And so I'm going out to the car, and it's like the Holy Spirit's, pray it. Pray it. And so I get in the car. I'm like, Father, forgive her. And it's not, I'm talking, it is a release. It will set you free. It will set you free. He means for us to be one, as He and the Father are one. We can't sit here and be irritated, aggravated with somebody else and hear what it's doing. When we do that, when we hold on to it, when we think we've got a right to hold on to that, what we're doing is our ears are becoming stopped up and gunked up, and we're not going to hear what the Holy Spirit really wants to say to us. And He's got something to say. He wants us to be free. He wants us to walk free. He wants us to walk in that anointing, that call. There's a call on every one of our lives. And it's every one. Every one. He has a call on your life, young man. He has a call on your life. He wants you to walk in liberty. Complete liberty. Not addiction. Addiction to Him. He wants to shift that addiction. And He wants that addiction to be on Him. He wants us to be completely addicted to Him. That's what we're called. But if we're holding on to unforgiveness, if we're holding on to bitterness, we're stopping the well. There's a well that is supposed to be springing up. we're stopping up wells, and it's time for us to undig some wells. Dig them up, not undig. Dig them up.
Okay. Now I know how I was after that. On the whole thing on forgiveness, he had us to think of people that we had unforgiveness toward in our life that we were just holding on, we just couldn't let go, or we thought we'd forgiven them, and maybe we picked it back up again. And my friend Bruce and Jenna from Georgia, they lived in Fort Lauderdale for many, many years, and then they just recently moved to Texas. So they're living in Texas, but they met us in California. Is everybody kind of following that? And when they were saying all this, Bruce and Jennifer were apart. So Jennifer texts her husband and texts a certain name of a lady that was in Fort Lauderdale that had really wronged their youngest daughter, Emily, by gossiping and spreading some rumors that were really not true. And Jennifer said, "Have we forgiven her?" And he said back, "I think so." So after that, we went out to the concession stand, and there's 60,000-something people here, and we're waiting in line to get whatever we were going to get to eat. And this lady walked right in front of Jennifer from Fort Lauderdale. She's like, "Yes, Lord, I hear you." And she reached out and hugged her and spoke with her. And I knew when I heard the name, I knew who it was, and I knew what the offenses had been. And Jennifer went back in, and her and her husband, they talked and they prayed and they tried to, you know, they... Even more so, "Yes, Lord, do we need to lay it down even more than we thought we had laid it down?" There's things in our lives that are not coincidences. It's not happen chance that you guys are here tonight. It's not happen chance that Linda spoke on forgiveness and the Lord reminded me of Jennifer being, it's a gracious God that it was for Jennifer and Bruce to lay it down. Not so much for the lady who, you know, she was a Christian. She just had done, we do things, we're human, to hurt each other. Not meaning to, or sometimes meaning to, but we don't mean to. We don't even realize what we're doing. But tonight we need to sit in our own hearts and say, "Who do I need to forgive?" And it's not so that you have to go back and make this great relationship back with them all the time. It's so that you can let it go. So that that openness between me and the Father in heaven is open. You know, at the end of the guy who was Reinhard Bonnke's spiritual son, I don't remember his name, he was telling the story, though, that is going to, it just pushed me to see the lost in a different way. I wanted to share that with you. He said they were at Disney World where they had like five kids, some about like my crew going to Disney World. And he said, "We come out and we realized in the crowd they'd lost their 4-year-old daughter in Disney World and they were calling her name and they were searching frantic for her and just searching and searching." He said, we didn't find her just really quick. He said, "In my heart, I was thinking all the worst that could happen to her. She's gone. I'll never see her again. You know, we're about to lock down the park." And all of a sudden, they found her. And, of course, you know him. He was ecstatic. And he said, "I don't remember her name, Emily." He said, "Emily, are you okay?" And she's like, "I'm fine. What's wrong with you?" She was enthralled with where she was at Disney. She was seeing Mickey. She was running around. She was trying to find the next big fix. She didn't even know she was lost. And maybe some of us here tonight, we might not even know that we are lost. We're so having such a good time in the world because there is pleasure in sin for a season. Or maybe we just don't really have that relationship that you hear us talking about tonight. Maybe you don't have that. Maybe you are lost and you don't even know it. You're just wandering through the world, and you need to say, "Father, I am lost. I need you." Matt, could you play us some music now? As I know it's getting time to go, and we need to, whatever it is the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, whether it was forgiveness for a parent who's wronged you, or a friend who's wronged you, or a fellow Christian in the church who's wronged you, or whether you might have just realized tonight, I think I'm really lost. I don't know that I really, really come in and said, "Father, forgive me for my sins," and I trust in Him as Lord and Savior. Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Maybe that's what you need to come down here right now as we all stand up and search our hearts and say, "Do I need to forgive someone in my life? Do I need to truly lay it down?" And Lord, I pray right now, Father, you would open the eyes. And if anybody in here right now is truly lost and they truly don't know you as Lord and Savior, if they have not felt that forgiveness that only you can give when we come before you and we repent of our sins and we say, Father, come into my life and forgive me. I didn't really know I was lost, but my eyes have been opened tonight and I see I don't have a relationship with you, Father. Let us cry out to you, Father God, and just receive that forgiveness right now. Come to the altar now if you need to come and spend time with Him for whatever reason. If you want to be more devoted in your devotion, come now. If you want to come say, Father, I want to have this walk. I want this in my life. Move, Father, move. Move on the hearts of the people here right now, Lord. Touch and draw. Show us. Open our eyes that we might see. That we might see what we can have before us. That you are offering us right now. Bring your fire, Father, into this place in spirit. Just baptize everyone right now with your love and your mercy and your grace right now. Yes, Lord, come in this place. If you said you were lost and you really don't know, it's so easy. It's not hard. Just say, Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life and make me whole. Make me whole. If you need to forgive someone right now, you say their name and you lay it and you say, Father, I can't forgive them on my own. I can't do this. The hurt was so deep. He knows that. He was nailed to a cross. He knows what hurt is. He knows what betrayal is. He knows all these things. He will help you forgive those that you think you cannot forgive. I'm not saying they deserve forgiveness for what they did. We're not saying what they did is right. We're just saying forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They're deceived also. They are deceived.